Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. March 10, 2021. Mesmerizing state. A person who feels the quality of bestowal and love and who perceives his participation in the whole of humanity as necessary and desirable, gradually comes to the fact that this quality begins to prevail in him. In that way, he gets closer and closer to bestowal. One who wants to fully acquire this quality, he, as a prey, asks it to act in him, and thus approaches the muxum, the border between the two worlds, and passes through it. It is a mesmerizing state, because we really begin to feel that our world consists of two systems. Our system, in which we are today, is purely initial, weak, specifically created so that, proceeding from it, we would want to be in the quality of bestowal and love despite our nature. Question: Kabbalists say that the goal of nature is to transport the whole of humanity through the muxum? Answer: Yes. Absolutely everyone and everything. The fact is that our world that seems to us to exist is actually illusory. It is specifically created for us to want to get out of it, to choose the next world, the next state, the quality of bestowal as the most necessary, desirable. From Cab TV's Spiritual States, February 6, 2020. I am the receiver and the giver. Comment: It is said, adhere to the Creator. Our dream is to reveal the Creator in our sensations. At the same time, you say that we will become independent of Him. There is some kind of contradiction in this. My response: Indeed, we are given two contradictory lines, the right one and the left one, above which we build the third, which is the middle line consisting of both of them, and at the same time above them. The quality of complete bestowal and love is the right line. The quality of egoism and hatred is the left line, and using them, I build the middle line above them. There is egoism, anger, greed, and envy inside me. I want to receive everything. And in you, as a host, on the contrary, there is bestowal and absolute love, and I can take them from you. You are completely ready to give everything. However, if I use you with my egoism, then I depend on you. In addition, my humiliation is revealed here. This is what we see in the world today, depression and everything else, as a result of the upper quality, of the quality of the so-called upper shame. To rise above this, I must completely nullify your influence on me. I can only do this when I apply both qualities. At the same time, I fully use my egoism, I receive everything that is possible from you, I pass through myself the pleasure that comes from you, but in order to give contentment to you. As a result, I do not become a receiver, because I receive only for your sake. I am the giver because I give everything to you. And you turn into a receiver. I am the receiver and the giver. You are the receiver and the giver. We become absolutely equal to each other. Then there is absolutely no difference between us, at the degrees of creation, Creator. I fully reach the degree equal to you. Moreover, since here I am the leader, the creator of this new relationship, I become even higher than you. After all, I manage the whole process, I create it, I invent it, and I implement it. From Cab TV's The Power of the Book of Zohar, number 6. My new article on LinkedIn COVID isn't going anywhere yet. After more than a year of battling with COVID-19, vaccines are available and their distribution is gaining momentum. It seems as though we are finally emerging from the pandemic as many states have lifted some, or all, of the limitations. Nevertheless, I think we are a bit too quick to jump to conclusions. We are still not conscious enough of how we should relate to one another, and the reckless race to lift the limitations could produce a very negative response. We're not out of the woods just yet, especially since we still don't feel how close or far we should be from one another. As I have said countless times, nature is smarter than we are. It demands that we overhaul our conduct. This is why it centers the coronavirus, and the virus will continue to plague us, in various forms, until we comply with nature's demand. The virus is very nimble, mutates easily and quickly, and is now far more contagious than it was when it first appeared. Since we don't feel how far we need to be from one another, to keep 2 feet away from this person, and 10 feet away from that person, we don't know how to conduct ourselves. Also, even when vaccines do work, they don't inoculate 100% and are only effective for 6 months or so. Therefore, I see no cause for celebration. As I have said countless times, nature is smarter than we are. It demands that we overhaul our conduct. This is why it centers the coronavirus, and the virus will continue to plague us, in various forms, until we comply with nature's demand. Currently, whenever we lift the limitations, we revert to the way we lived before, selfishly, and without consideration of each other or the environment. This is exactly why the plague broke out, to compel us to transform our relationships. If we revert to the previous way of life every time we lift the limitations, the virus will keep coming back, and more virulent and violent each time. Only when we start using the forced distance between us, to build positive relations, to learn about our mutual dependence, and the necessity to care about each other, we will be able to conduct ourselves in more thoughtful ways and we will not need a virus to keep us from harming one another. To do this, we must start thinking that by keeping our distance, we are not protecting ourselves, but the ones from whom we keep away. That is, if we, collectively, cultivate a mindset where we see ourselves as infected, even if asymptomatic, and that we must keep away from each other in order not to infect others, then we will stop infecting one another. If we do this, the virus will be gone in a matter of weeks. But even more important, we will have succeeded in our first exercise in mutual responsibility. This exercise will demonstrate that only through mutual responsibility can we build a secure and successful society, and we will want to cultivate that mindset instead of the reverence we currently have for extreme individualism and narcissism. Our physical and emotional health depends on our social health more than at any time prior. If we want to be healthy, we must first heal our society from corrupt egoism. We must learn to appreciate and gradually rejoice in our differences. We must come to see that the diversity of human society is required for its strength, and that without people who think, look, and act differently, no one can develop and succeed, since we only develop through contact and communication with different people. When we realize this, we will be able to build a balanced, healthy society, and the virus will truly be gone. My new article on LinkedIn Israel, a country in paralysis. For the fourth time in 2 years, Israel is going to the polls. The country is in an unprecedented state of political paralysis, and it feels as though regardless of the election results, and whatever government is established afterwards, it will not work. Signed agreements are not kept, alliances mean nothing, and the country is in deadlock. The problem is that we don't understand that the motto "All of Israel are friends" is not some lofty idea conceived by an ancient sage some 3,000 years ago. It is a goal that we must strive to achieve every moment we are here because this is our vocation as a nation. Our brotherhood is not for our own sake, it is to set an example of unity above hatred and rows. The ancient bond that the people of Israel achieved was unique. It was not a bond among kin nor among otherwise related people, but one that was achieved among people whose ancestors came from countless tribes and clans who were often sworn enemies. This is why King Solomon said, Prof. 10:12, "Hate stirs strife, and love will cover all crimes of hatred." Only when we conduct ourselves in this manner are we regarded as the people of Israel, and only then do we merit living in the land of Israel. It does not have to be this way, we brought ourselves to it. We, the people of Israel, must be as brothers to each other, As it is written, all of Israel are friends, and until this happens, we are not a nation, and we have no country or society. At the moment, we are behaving like raucous siblings who were sent to their room because they misbehaved. But we are all living in one room, so we are continuing the unruly behavior while on lockdown. If we keep this up, we really will lose the country. The problem is that we don't understand that the motto "All of Israel are friends" is not some lofty idea conceived by an ancient sage some 3,000 years ago. It is a goal that we must strive to achieve every moment we are here because this is our vocation as a nation. Our brotherhood is not for our own sake, it is to set an example of unity above hatred and rows. The ancient bond that the people of Israel achieved was unique. It was not a bond among kin nor among otherwise related people, but one that was achieved among people whose ancestors came from countless tribes and clans who were often sworn enemies. This is why King Solomon said, Prof. 10:12, "Hate stirs strife, and love will cover all crimes of hatred." Only when we conduct ourselves in this manner are we regarded as the people of Israel, and only then do we merit living in the land of Israel. At the moment, the country is running sort of on its own, but this is not the right way to run things. If we were united as we should be, above our hatred, we wouldn't let politicians run the country, we'd have professionals running it. Educators should run the Ministry of Education, doctors should run the Ministry of Health, and the same goes for commerce and industry, culture, and so forth. Professionals should run the country and not politicians, who see only the promotion of their own careers. As long as there is money to waste, we'll keep going to the polls. And for our own sake, I hope we will learn what we must do sooner rather than later. How do you learn to be needed? Question: someone wrote to you, "Since my husband died, I feel useless. The children do not need me," my daughter recently said to me, "you are only interfering." I thought that I would be needed by my grandchildren, but they are busy with their own gadgets and just get annoyed with me. I learned to knit and thought I would knit for them, but they buy everything online. I tried to come up with all sorts of things for myself, like playing cards, solving crossword puzzles, but I am not interested. It turns out that nobody needs me. What is this woman to do? How can a person learn to be needed? Answer: I think that for this we need not look for someone who needs you in some personal sense, but what I can do so that it would be useful and good for a large number of people, for all of humanity. Today everything has been done to ensure that we are as independent as possible from each other. And when someone wants to bother us with offering their help, we do not want it. Question: so a simple grandmother can reveal herself to the world? Can she suddenly be useful to the world, useful to people? Answer: undoubtedly. Only if she understands what is of benefit for the world, for people, she can find herself in this. Question: and what can her benefit to the world be? Answer: in teaching herself and other people to be properly interconnected with each other. This will bring a tremendous positive force into the world that will make the world a better place. Question: is the meaning of life that a person wants to be needed? Is this the meaning of my life? Answer: it does not make sense. It is only a remedy. The meaning of life should already be above this. Question: is the meaning of life as what you said, establishing connections with others, making them kind? Will this meaning fill a person? Answer: it will definitely fill. One will begin to feel that he or she has this meaning. Inside this filling, this connection between us, we go to the next level, we can fill ourselves for another 100 years ahead. We are entering a system in which we are all connected. This is a completely new meaning of life. We live, as it were, in a common body. Question: maybe a second youth after 70 to 80 years? Answer: undoubtedly. A person breaks away from himself into this society in which he is, which he is building. We must do this. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, February 8, 2021. Molding a child into a leader. Comment. One of your videos was about children turning into stars and becoming leaders. How they're raised on stage and become the best at singing or dancing. In this clip you spoke about love, about coming closer together, and what competition should really be. Then we received this letter to you: healthy competition leads to success, leadership, and good outcomes. Being a laggard is never a good thing. Love, closeness, and empathy are false ideals. I want to be better, so I shall be. I want to be more successful, so I will. Winning gives confidence in oneself, in life, and leads to further success. I doubt that Mr. Leitman would have turned out the way he did if he had no leadership skills or inclination to be a winner. Stop pretending. Only a weed grows by itself. We have to grow a harvest and overpower the weed. Only through leadership, only by winning do we succeed. It's survival of the fittest. My response: what he says is true. But this is all good among the weeds. While a man in the end has to come out a winner over himself, not over others. He has to see his inner self, and the way he should act in contrast to it on the outside. This is what I mean when I say this: I'm not referring to people as weeds. Question: what about the competitiveness between children about who has the best voice or who is the best dancer? Answer: in the end, there's nothing good about it. Nothing. You're training a child to be better, higher, and stronger, to win and rejoice in the victory. However, in the end you realize that this is not what makes one a winner in life. Question: so they don't grow up to be leaders? Answer: no. Only an individual victory over oneself, this is where one should be a winner. Question: in other words, the modern world is built on these concepts. Do you reject it? Answer: that's for sure. I think that everyone who hears me, who reads what I write, understands that I accept the modern world the way it is in order to change it. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, January 21, 2021. Will the fairy tale of our life have a good ending? Question: there is something that unites all nations: fairy tales. It is part of everyone's life. We enter life listening to fairy tales. Some kind of morality is meant to pass on to us, through them, so that it is understandable to children. Then we grow up and continue to tell fairy tales, but we call them stories, fables, and so on. Sages also write allegorically and convey a lot through a fairy tale. What is in the fairy tale? Answer: everything. Absolutely everything. There is a woodcutter, a princess, a king, a puss in boots, a pumpkin on wheels, whatever you want. Horses moving their hooves nervously, and all that sort of thing. An unhappy prince who is looking for his princess. Either he is like a frog or she is trapped somewhere in a high tower. Whatever you want, everything is possible. A fairy tale can do anything. And moreover, it manifests itself in a very open, as if naked form. That is, they love, they want to be together. Someone does not help, someone is against it. Everything is open. That's what is good about the fairy tale. In our world, a lot of adults enjoy watching real fairy tales. Although they know that these are fairy tales. Question: why? Is it an escape from reality? Answer: this is more real than our life actually. Question: what is the reality of the fairy tale? Answer: justice is rewarded, loyalty is rewarded. But all this has to go through a lot of twists and turns, all sorts of nooks and crannies, mazes of our egoism. Question: so the fairy tale actually tells about what will really happen? That good will triumph over evil? Answer: absolutely. Otherwise, nothing would have started. All fairy tales must have a good ending, because it is already set initially. Question: and fairy tales with a bad ending, what about them? Answer: there is no such thing. It means they are not finished. A fairy tale is written from the end. But the good ending should be in that there is a beginning, a denouement, a climax. In general, absolutely everything and always a good ending. It was designed from the very beginning. My conclusion is this: a fairy tale should start from the beginning. Then there should be some kind of demonstration process, educational, accusatory, and so on. The heroes have to diverge and be unhappy with what is happening. This one wants to kill and it does not work. This one wants to escape but can't. They want to get married, it's not working, and so on. That is, in all this they cannot find ties between them, and who writes that fairy tale? The creator. That's when they gradually despair of solutions, each in their own way, what to do. Then they begin to understand that they are under an upper will, and then everything begins to work out for them, to come together. And it turns out that this upper will, the upper force, leads them to the right decision, to a good end. And good triumphs. Question: were you really talking about our time just now? Answer: it is precisely in our time that this upper force begins to manifest itself in various states, when humanity has no other answer to the questions than to say that it is the upper force comment, and this unkind fairy tale, as it seems to humanity, begins to move. My response: and then it will be kind. Because it points you to the ultimate solution, the one who conceived it, started developing it and doing it, and now has to finish it. Question: and we are led to love, to happiness? Answer: yes. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, January 21, 2021. On the way to faith. Question: is faith a feeling of the Creator? Do I believe you because you are great and strong in my eyes? Answer: no, this is not at all the same faith the wisdom of Kabbalah speaks about. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, the term faith means the characteristic of bestowal, the characteristic of being. Whereas the fact that you just believe me is not considered in the wisdom of Kabbalah because it lacks any basis, just like in any other science. Question: which is to say, I don't have to believe you. Answer: that's your business. Question: but often what you say actually happens. And I believe you. Answer: that is because with my words I connect previous concepts in you that could not be connected. And this is pleasant, calming, and freeing for you. The linking and connection of opposites that appear in you because you are listening to me gives you a connection with me. Through your egoistic senses, you begin to feel that it is worthwhile to listen to me, because in a way like this I put concepts in you that were previously incapable of being connected, which could not complement each other. While now, they complement each other and you think that you have faith in me. But this is not the faith of which we are speaking. Faith is the characteristic of Bina that can only be attained from above through the bestowal of light. The upper light bestows upon your egoism and you begin to feel within it a characteristic that is its opposite, the desire to bestow, to fulfill someone. That is what is called faith. And this is not the same faith about which religions speak. The wisdom of Kabbalah doesn't work by means of things like these. Question: it follows that I still have a long way to go to get to true faith. Answer: what difference does that make? You are on the way in any case. From CabTV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, December 22, 2019. A Kabbalist sees all connections. Question: the entire world is a system of connections between the inanimate, vegetative, and animate levels of nature, and between people. Today, we see the world through our egoistic connections. Everyone feels them differently. What does a Kabbalist see? Answer: a Kabbalist very clearly sees all connections, how much people give to each other, care for each other, are connected to each other. He sees this in the measure of his correction and thus feels the whole world as existing in the quality of bestowal. And he constantly reaches other attainments built on oppositeness from the quality of bestowal and love, and two systems are revealed to him, the receiving and the bestowing. And he must work in order to combine them. Question: can we say that a person who has crossed the Muksam sees absolutely all connections between people? Answer: that is correct. However, he will not use them to the detriment of the system itself, which is called the Creator. From CAB TV's Spiritual States, February 6, 2020. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. The ninth commandment says you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You create completely new conditions in the world and risk distorting the entire harmony between the forces of the world if you pronounce false conditions and enter false parameters. Question: do I move even further away from my neighbor in this way and consequently from the Creator? Answer: yes. All the rules are built so that man does not move away from the Creator. Comment: in Kabbalah, the Creator is the purpose. We can only attune ourselves to him through society. Therefore, if I bear false witness against my neighbor, then I move myself away from the Creator. It is a pity that we do not see it. Then we would observe these laws. My response: no. Then we would just be machines. We would not have the freedom of choice. Comment: it is so hard to observe all this. My response: not hard, but impossible. There can be nothing else in nature. We have to agree with that. We must understand that this is the only way for us to be properly attuned to nature, to its highest law, which raises us above our animalistic nature. Therefore, we have to agree with this assent, given to its forces, and then everything will work out. From CAB TV's Spiritual States, December 26, 2019.